Good day, everyone. We hope that you are well. And if this is the first time that you're joining us, we are so glad that you've done that. And we ask that you might just feel led to scroll down on our Facebook page further below and watch the first two parts of this three-part series. But here's a little sneak peek into each week.
You have a personal responsibility, if there is something on your heart, to figure out, Lord, how do I go about this? What are the next steps that I as an individual need to take to trust you in faith, to see this vision that's been on my heart come to fruition, to see this problem that just bugs me, that's not okay with me? How do I be a part of the solution? This is how God stirs up his people to answer the needs of his generation, of our generation. And so they will humiliate us using derision, using discouragement, using distraction, using danger, using even defamation, false accusation, to do whatever to discourage you from the work, to stop you doing what God is calling you to do. But Jesus warned us about this. He told us that following him would be tough. He told us also, though, that it would be worth it. So today I want to just say to you, stand firm. Don't stop building God's kingdom. Don't stop seeking his face. Don't stop working through whatever it is that he's called you to work through. Don't stop honoring him. If you are distracted, if you are discouraged, strengthen your arm. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep on building whatever wall he's calling you to build. And at the end of the day, whenever that might be, your life will also be a testimony to your God, that others, even your own enemies, would have to look and would have to concede that all that you've done and all that you've accomplished has been because the hand of your God was with you.
Now, this is what we know thus far. Nehemiah was talking with a couple of his Jewish friends, and they reported back to him that the walls and the gates of Jerusalem were in a state of complete despair. And this so deeply disturbed Nehemiah that he chose to go and rebuild the walls and the gates in Jerusalem. This became Nehemiah's burden, his holy discontent. And after seeking the Lord's guidance, he asked his boss, King Artaxerxes, if he could go and do so, if he could go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And so his boss approves his extremely long leave request, but he also sends him on his way with enough letters to ensure that he has a safe journey and all the financial resources he needs to complete the project. And so when Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, he quickly organizes the people into work party groups and assigns to them specific sections of the wall to repair. But just like any godly social justice project, Nehemiah had incredible opposition, to the extent where most of the people had their very lives threatened, and they had to build the wall with a weapon in the one hand while they were completing the brickwork in the other. And some of the workers became quite tired but worrying about their lives and working at the same time. But this didn't bother Nehemiah at all, because he was a man with a plan. And so in each case, whenever he found opposition, he implemented a plan to frustrate his enemies with constant prayer. But as Duncan revealed last week, he also encouraged his workers, possibly with a great Scottish tone. And he even created a guard duty roster with a state-of-the-art alarm system. And in just 52 days, the wall was finished. Now, for them and their enemies, this was an incredible display of God's love, of his power, and his faithfulness. And this is where we are going to conclude our series in the book of Nehemiah today. And so please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6, and we're going to read together from verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. I would like to encourage you to keep your Bibles open, as I will definitely refer back to the book of Nehemiah quite often. Now, in the story, we have reached the climax where the holy discontent that was placed on Nehemiah's heart by God when he heard about the destruction of the wall of Jerusalem has now been satisfied. The wall is complete. The rebuilding project is done. And so we would think that Nehemiah is packing up his bags and is heading back home to King Artaxerxes. The project is complete. So surely that's where he should be going. However, when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he found far more than just a broken wall. Nehemiah also found broken people with broken lives. You see, even though the wall was completely rebuilt to the extent where all who lived in the city had a great sense of security once again, and the city of God that was meant to reveal God's love, power, and presence to the world can now do so once again without any shame. Even though the walls are rebuilt, the walls fully restored, we would like to suggest that the walls were broken as a result of the brokenness of the people. Where everything on the outside looked fantastic, where it looked like they had it all together. But it is clear that when the Israelites heard the word of God again, they realized that they had neglected their relationships with God, and this led to the destruction of the wall. You see, because of their neglecting their relationship with God, they didn't just lose a sense of security that the wall brings. They also lost their place of worship, their place of teaching and prayer. They also lost their sense of belonging, of owning the land, sense of community, serving one another and God sacrificially. And because they had lost all these things, they quickly found themselves exiled again, feeling miles away from God, physically and spiritually. And this in itself left them with a great sense of brokenness, far greater than the physical brokenness of the wall. And only when they realized this did they weep deeply. And when we study the contents of Ezra's prayer in Nehemiah chapter 9, the reason for their weeping becomes clear. In verse 34, it reads as follows: "Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways." And so, as a result of their neglect in terms of their relationship with God, verse 36 states, "But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress." You see, the Israelites wept for more than just their own suffering. They wept because they came to the realization that their suffering was a mere consequence of their decisions and actions. And so they wept because they realized that they had broken the conditions of their covenantal relationship with God and therefore found themselves broken spiritually. And this led to the wall being in disrepair as well. And now they needed God's grace and compassion that will liberate and restore them spiritually because the wall is rebuilt. And this is where I would like to draw us into the story of Nehemiah today, because we would like to suggest that the wall of Jerusalem reflected the state of Israel's relationship with God. In the same way, our walls, our lives reflect the state of our relationship with God. And therefore, we must ask ourselves these questions. In what condition is my wall? Does it need a few repairs, or does it need to be rebuilt completely? Just like we've discovered in the story of the Israelites, our walls represent the condition of our relationship with God. And so let us rephrase the question. In what condition is our relationship with God? Does our relationship with Him need a few repairs, or does it need to be rebuilt completely? And to answer these questions, we can do exactly what Nehemiah did. Let's first have an honest look at our physical walls, the things that we've built up in our lives, our careers, our homes, our relationships, our lifestyles. Do they reflect the love, power, presence, and glory of God? When people look at these things, do they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? Do they see walls that reflect our intimacy with God? Do they see walls of eternal value? Or do they see walls that will decay over time, where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal? Friends, if Nehemiah asked for a report on our walls, what news would he receive? And how would he respond? Would he be content with the state of our walls, or would he too saddle up and arrive at our front doors with a building crew? And if we're not sure about the kind of report that he would receive, then maybe we should do exactly the same thing that Ezra did with the Israelites. We reread and study God's word, and we allow God's word to reveal to us whether there's any brokenness in our walls, whether there's any brokenness in our relationship with God. Maybe if we struggle with that idea of reading and studying God's word, if we struggle with the idea of spending dedicated and quality time with God, working and growing in our relationship with Him, then maybe our struggle in itself reveals the state of our relationship with God. And therefore, we might just need to respond just like the Israelites did, where we too repent of our sins. We repent of the fact that we have neglected our relationships with God. And just like they did, we lament in regards to the fact that we have lost so much intimacy. We've lost incredible blessing and protection of God. We've lost incredible provision and care. But friends, if we who are called by God humble ourselves and pray, and we seek His face, we turn from our wicked ways, then just like He did with the Israelites in Nehemiah's time, He will hear from heaven, He will forgive our sins, and He will heal our land. He will heal our walls, both spiritually and physically. And so if our relationships with God, if they're broken, let us humble ourselves and pray and seek His face again and allow God to cement our walls back together so that our relationships with God become and remain the most important in our lives once again. To the extent when people look at our careers, our homes, and our lives, they can testify that we glorify God in all that we say and do. And so if you're sitting here today and you've become aware that the external things in your life, the external walls, do not reflect the importance of your relationship with God, then maybe we need to recommit our lives to God, just like the Israelites did that day, where they drew up a written agreement. And maybe this isn't a bad idea, even in our modern day context, where you and I physically write up an agreement with God, just like they did in chapter 10, where they committed themselves to the studying and reading of God's word. but not just the studying and reading, but the following and obeying what it commands us to do. Then they also committed themselves to the gathering of the saints, worshiping together, praying together, hearing God's word taught, serving one another to the extent where no one had need, because they had all things in common. And they also committed themselves to teaching their families and the rest of the community to do the same, where everybody relied on God for protection, provision. So much so that they dedicated quite a bit of their time, talents, and treasures to the Lord's work. And then they summarized their agreement with the Lord with a very appropriate phrase: "We will not neglect the house of our God." In our context today, we might write, "We will not neglect our worship of the Lord. We will not neglect our prayer times with the Lord, or hearing the teachings of the Lord, the studying of His word. We will not neglect our relationships with our God." And so, today, Lord, we promise to recommit our lives to You in such a way that keeps us accountable and reveals that You are the most important relationship in our lives. And this applies to all of us today, whether we have small cracks or completely broken down walls. All of us need God's grace and compassion, just like they did, because all of us are required to reflect God's love, power, presence, and glory to this world in and through our lives. We are meant to do so with overflowing joy, but this is incredibly hard if our walls are broken. And so let us ask the Lord today, "Lord, will You restore to me the joy of Your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me? Then, Lord, I will teach transgressors Your ways so that sinners will turn back to You. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, You who are a God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of Your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare Your praise. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken and contrite heart, God, You will not despise. May it please You to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem in my life once again. Then You will delight in the sacrifices that I bring, and bulls will be offered to You." Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, You are fully aware of all of us today and the state of our walls, both physically and spiritually. But we ask, Lord, before we start building up physical walls, repairing them, we ask that You would repair our spiritual walls today. Restore unto us spiritually the joy of Your salvation to such an extent that it overflows into our daily lives, so that we too might find the restoration of our physical walls as well, where our lives reflect Your love, power, presence, and glory once again. Give us the courage today to commit ourselves to You with all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.